Okay, so because of I'm away next week, so I didn't want to get back into the Shmona Esrei and keep going and then start and stop and start and stop. So I figured either way, this is the last class before Purim. Mm-hmm. So we will look at Tefillah's role in the Purim miracle. Look at Tefillah's role in the Purim miracle.
And we send out, you didn't post, I don't think, last.
No, not yet. Yeah. God willing, later today.
Okay.
So it starts like this. We'll start like this. We know that the obligation of reading the Megillah on Purim is in order to do Parshume Nisa, to publicize the miracle the miracle of Kadosh Baruch Hu, who saved us during the days of Mordechai and Esther and Shushan under the threat of Achashverosh and Haman. This is the way that the Rambam also cites the obligation to read the Megillah. Is the whole purpose of it is Laharos Hanes, in order to publicize the miracle. So there's an interesting question that's brought up by the son-in-law of Rav Shach. Rav Shach was the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich Yeshiva, and his son-in-law, Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, has a very interesting question. Related to the very unique question, where he says, if you look at the mitzvah of the Torah obligates us to ensure that there's an esh tamid tuka al mizbeach lo techbe, that there's a constant fire, the esh tamid, an eternal fire that's burning on the mizbeach in the Mishkan, in the Beis Hamikdash, that on the mizbeach there needs to be a fire there at all times. Says the Sefer Chenach, well, if you look at the Gemara says in Yuman Da Chaf Aleph, that fire was a miraculous fire that was always burning. It was an Esh Min HaShamayim. It was a fire that was constantly burning, that was heavenly fueled. So then if that's the case, why is it that it was that there was an obligation for the Kohanim to add firewood? Either way, it was always going to be burning. It was an eternal fire, and it was something that was min hashamayim. It was from the heaven. Why is it that it needed to always be? We needed to fulfill this mitzvah of esh tamid tukar al mizbeach lo techbe. We needed to add the firewood ourselves. And either way, it was going to be burning. So the Sefer HaKanach says, because the olam yasam derech seser, Hashem wanted that this miracle stays quiet. It wasn't that he didn't want it to be an open and obvious miracle. He wanted it to be a miracle that was kept quiet. So asks Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, he says, so if that's the case, why is it that there's an obligation of reading the Megillah? We know that the story of Megillah Esther, we know the whole story of the Purim miracle was a nes nistar. It was a hidden miracle. It was not an obvious miracle. In fact, it's a lot of people don't even realize this, that the story of Purim happened over a 9-year period. Happened from the start of Achashverosh's first party until the Jewish people being saved at the end of chapter 10 was over a 9-year long period. And it was just a number of seemingly insignificant events, one after another, with large time gaps in between each one, that ultimately led to the Jewish people's salvation. And it was all happening in a way that it was not obvious, right? And then so many aspects of the Megillah that reflect this, the fact that Hashem's name is not in the Megillah, the fact that Esther's name is Esther, that she, you know, had to be hidden, and it was through that hidden infiltration from within that things were able to change. There are many, many aspects of the holiday that suggest this, the whole concept of dressing up, masks, all of these things are all related to the fact that Purim was a hidden miracle. And if that's the case, what gives us the right to do Parsumei Nisa of publicizing such a miracle? Just like the fire on the Mizbeach, Hashem wanted it to stay quiet. That's why the Sefer HaKanach says there's an obligation for us to add the firewood, even though it's going to be eternally burning from Hashem regardless. And then, if that's the case, so then what's the difference between that and publicizing the miracle on Purim? So I want to suggest two answers. I want to go through two answers. The first is based off of the Nesiva Shalom. Nesiva Shalom, the Slonimer Rebbe, it's interesting. His sefer on the thought, it's a sefer. It's mostly steeped in Hasidus, but it's a work that has also been appreciated by even the Litvak world as well. In fact, Rav Shach himself said about the Nesiva Shalom that it's the Mesilos Yesharim of our generation. Mesilos Yesharim, written by the Ramchal in Italy in the 18th century, and really a fundamental work in Jewish philosophy and Jewish thought and the way that a Jew is supposed to think, said Rav Shach, that was the Nesiva Shalom for our generation. That it really captured the way that a Jew is supposed to think. So the Nesiva Shalom is dealing with a broader question related to the Purim miracle, which is like, what was the turning point for the Jewish people? Why was it that Hashem, in the hidden way, but why was it that Hashem stepped in to change things? So he says that if you look at where the turning point happened, it really happened when Esther made the following declaration. The Megillah says in the fourth chapter that this is Mordechai is talking with Esther and filling her in on everything that's happening and the decree. And so she says to Mordechai, tell all the people that they're gonna that they should fast for 3 days. And she says, "Vani etzavim imachem." I'm also going to fast during that time. And she says, "Kasher avadati avadati." That what I've lost, I've lost. Meaning to say that I've lost my olam haza. I'm not able to really live in this world the way that I want to live in this world. I lost my olam haba because I have to live with this man Achashverosh. My life is less important than the lives of the Jewish people. And it was complete self-sacrifice. When she said the words, Kasher avadati avadati, that says the Nesiva Shalom, when she did that self-sacrifice, when she did that Mesiras Nefesh on behalf of the Jewish people and to make a Kiddush Hashem, so then that is what changed everything. In fact, this is exactly what he writes. He says, quoting from the Gemara in Megillah, that mikan hischila tzmichas haYeshua, that it was from this point is where the sprout of the salvation came. Mishas shekibla atzma, that when Esther took upon herself, kasher avadati avadi, when she made that declaration that I am going to sacrifice myself on behalf of the Jewish people and on behalf of Hashem, hischila lipatech kol sha'arim. It was at that point that all of the gates opened up in Shamayim, Aschat the Yeshua, and that was the beginning of the process of the salvation. Ha'isa b'shashi kibbal atzma mesiras nefesh kasher avadati avadati, when she took upon herself this self sacrifice. Points out in Nesiva Shalom that was the turning point. Now, why was that the turning point? So we have a Masorah. This is brought down in a few different places. Brought down in the Malbim. It's also brought down by the Netziv.
What's the Malbim?
The Malbim. Malbim is a early 19th century work on Chumash. He was also happens to be that it was, it's interesting that the work on Chumash is a work of machshava, of Jewish thought and guidance and Jewish outlook. But what he was more known for in his lifetime was actually he was a halachist, that he was a community rabbi. He was poskening shilas and more dealing with halacha. But what he was known for posthumously was more of his works in philosophy, because that was what he published, were all of his works in philosophy. So we have a Masorah from the Malbim, and we have a Masorah also from a contemporary of the Malbim, the Netziv, a little bit after the Malbim, of the Netziv. Rav Natali Tzviuda Berlin was the Rosh Hashiva of Lushen. He became Rosh Hashiva in 1853 until the yeshiva's tragic closing in 1892. Both of them write something very, very similar, where they write that major miracles come to the Jewish people when we go above and beyond what Hashem expects of us. And when we go above and beyond the laws of nature, so Hashem, the Maharal writes something similar to this as well. Then Hashem changes nature on our behalf. The Maharal writes this in the context of Hanukkah. That was the reason that Hashem made the open miracle of Hanukkah with the candles lasting because we were Moser Nefesh. We extended ourselves, went above and beyond what would be expected of us to fight the most powerful army in the world. So Hashem went beyond the laws of nature for the Jewish people. Says the Malbim and the Netziv also write this in the context of what the obligation of Kedushin Tiyu is. We have an obligation to be Kadosh. We have an obligation to be holy. They say that's really what the obligation of Kedushin Tiyu is, that Hashem is calling on to us to go above and beyond what is expected. To go above and beyond what's expected. The language of the Malbim, he writes, Aziz Kadosh Adam, that at the time that a person is Mekadosh himself, he makes himself holy. That he goes beyond what is natural, what he's naturally inclined to do. Their mind, meaning their decision making of their mind, trumps the what their primitive natural default option would have been otherwise. And their soul, their chelak alokamimal, the part of Hashem that's a part of them, is really now what's governing them. As gamba olam yiskadesh Hashem yisale lahanek hanhagas nisis, that Hashem will also act in that similar way for us. That when we show Hashem, we're going to go above and beyond what we naturally are inclined to do or what would be expected of us. So Hashem, in turn, does the same thing. The Netziv writes this as well. The Netziv points out in his commentary in the Hamak Davar, he says, "Im yu misnagnim l'shem shamayim b'derech hateva," that if we perform our avodas Hashem or we act on behalf of the Jewish people in the natural way, so then asiyeh hashgach aleihem gan kein derech hatevas, then so to Hashem is going to just do what is expected of him to do, right? It's going to be basically leave things up to just din, right? Just straight judgment, what we deserve or what we don't deserve. The emu perushim uvdalim lamalam eteva enushi. But if we go above and beyond what is expected of us, so the hazetiyah hashgach aleihem gan kein perushu uvdal. So to Hashem is going to treat us in a way that above what is expected, quote unquote, expected of Hashem.
So this wouldn't apply with the exodus from Egypt. In other words, that those were miracles done that were sort of above and beyond.
That, so there, it's interesting. There, those miracles. Maybe we'll answer that with the second answer, but at least within this first answer, we could say there, the Torah says why Hashem performed those miracles. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Vayera why Hashem performs the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That V'yadatem ki'ani Hashem Elokeichem, in order that they realize who actually runs the world here, right? So that was Hashem to create a quote-unquote Kiddush Hashem. It was Hashem in order to send this message to the world that Paro is not God. There is no other God. There is no other power. It's only me. And it was to spread that message to the world is why all those miracles happened. And also Hashem promised he's going to take us out, right? So it was twofold. But with regards to these miracles, right? I mean, I think that you can make a similar argument to why it is that we see these miracles that happen in the founding of and maintaining of the state of Israel, for sure. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned this medrash that's quoted by the Rabbeinu Bechaya before, that Hashem is challenged by the Satan. That how is it that that you're still giving the Jewish people their schus avos, their merit from their ancestors? Are any of them similar to Avram Avinu at this point? And the Satan says that I don't think that they are similar at all. And he goes through each of the 10 tests of Avram Avinu to show that they're not upholding the standard of Avram Avinu because they're not acting in this way until he gets to the last of the tests, which is Akedas Yitzchak. When he gets to Akedas Yitzchak, so then nothing could say about it, because what do you mean we're not doing Kedus Yitzchak, right? And the self-sacrifice that that we make, and you know, and at least till that point in history and then beyond, right? Of course, every time you have a chayal that puts on a uniform to go and fight on behalf of the Jewish people is doing Akedas Yitzchak, right? So we're not just doing one Akeda. This is an endless amount of Akedas have happened since Akedas Yitzchak. So I think you could say, you could suggest the same thing, which is that this is part of why Hashem has given us and maintained Medinas Yisrael, because we do extend ourselves above what would be expected of us to do. So now with this in mind, we can understand, says the Nasi v'Shalom, we can understand why it is that why it is that that Hashem turned everything around. It was a total vahana afoku. Hashem turned everything around because of Esther. Esther said, "Kasher avadati avadati," saying, "My life is completely insignificant with regards to the rest of the Jewish nation. Therefore, I'm going to ostensibly give up my own life completely. Right? I'm going into Achashverosh. He's going to kill me. Kasher avadati avadati. Right? Okay. But I have no other option. I have to do this." And that her putting Klal Yisrael ahead of her own life saved the Jewish people. This Rabbi Yochum Olshin wanted to say, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, he wanted to say that answers our question. The answer to our question of why is it that we're quote unquote arguing with God when God kept this miracle quiet. Now we're publicizing it. Isn't that going against what Hashem wanted it? If he wanted to do this as an open miracle, he would have done an open miracle, right? So why is it that we're publicizing a hidden miracle? It's not that we're publicizing a hidden miracle. What we're publicizing is that if we act this way, Hashem will perform miracles on our behalf. That is, it's persume how to create Nisan. What we're publicizing is how to create Nisan in our lives. We want to experience salvations. We want to experience miracles. We want to experience Hashem taking care of the things we need to take care of. Then we need to be extending ourselves as well beyond what is expected of us. We extend ourselves beyond what's expected of us. So then Hashem is going to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. So that's the first answer. The second answer is based off of the Maharal. The Maharal points to a Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara writes on Daf Yud Aleph in Masechta Megillah. We're over there. The Gemara is going through the entire story of Megillas Esther and explaining every single part of the story in great detail. So over there, the Gemara has on Daf Yud Aleph in the name of Rav Masna that Rav Masna Amar Mehacha. The Rav Masna said, "This is the reason we were saved, because the Torah says." This is the Torah says in Parshas Ve'eschana that Hashem will listen. How fortunate we are, is what the Torah says. How fortunate we are that Hashem listens to us, his nation, when we call out to him in sincerity. Meaning when we pray to Hashem with sincerity, so then Hashem will always take care of us. That's what the Torah says. Comes along Rav Masna and says, Ratzalom, or this comes to teach me, Kiatzalas Yisrael, that whenever the Jewish people experience salvation, Begeula Zehaya Mikocha Tefila, it is pinned upon Tefila. There was some sort of a Tefila that we did, some sort of sincere Tefila, a really sincere Tefila that we did, and through that Tefila, so then. That's the reason we were saved. The Rambam writes this as well. The Rambam writes that was the reason why we ultimately were. That's ultimately why we have the mitzvos related to Purim. He writes. The Rambam writes in. It's an interesting place where the Rambam writes this. It is. So the Rambam wrote in his magnum opus, the Mishneh Torah, he has an introduction to the Mishnah Torah, and the introduction includes the list of the 613 mitzvahs, the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he lists off the 613 mitzvahs. Then he has a short synopsis once more of the 613, meaning literally just listing without any detail, just listing them. And then at the end, he has a short paragraph like this that says, this is to the exclusion of rabbinic mitzvot, like Hanukkah and Purim. And over there, he writes, he says, like, for example, Sivu Likros HaMegillah Be'onasa, we have an obligation to read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar. Kedei, why? Lahazkir Shvachav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to highlight our praise of Hashem, Utshuos, and to highlight the salvations, Hashem She'asalanu, that he had done for us, V'hayakarov Lishuosenu, that Hashem brought forth our salvation. Kedei, why? Levarchu Lahalo, in order to give him praise and thanks. Ukidei, and this is the key line, Ukidei, Lehodia Ladaros Habayim, and in order to tell future generations, again, this is the Rambam saying, this is the purpose of the mitzvot related to Purim, specifically reading the Megillah. Why do we read the Megillah? Kedei Lehodia Ladaros, in order to tell all future generations Habayim, She'emes Mashiv Tichanu Had Betorah, that it is 100% true and accurate, that which it says in the Torah of this pasuk in Parshas Veschan, that Hashem will always answer and bring salvations to those who call out to Him in sincerity. Therefore, says the Maharal, based on this Rambam, it's abundantly obvious that that was the turning point for the Jewish people. The salvation of the Purim story, the miracle of Purim, would not have happened. The Vanahafohu, it all being turned around, would not have happened without sincere tefillah. In fact, getting back to Nora's point before about Gulas Mitzrayim, of the salvation from Mitzrayim, we know just from the basic reading of the Haggadah that that's the case also. Right? V'netzak el Hashem Elokeinu, and once we cried out, so then Hashem said, okay, it's time. It's time. We know that the Yerushalmi tells us in Masechta Tainus also that Lo Nagul Avosinu Mitzrayim Ela B'Sfus Tefila, that we would not have been redeemed from Mitzrayim if not for davening. This is it says in the Torah, it's a haftacha from Hashem. Hashem guarantees that if we daven with sincerity, He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. So therefore, says the Maharal, putting the Rambam together with all of these other Masorahs that we have for proper tefillah, it must be that was the turning point in the Megillah. The turning point for the Jewish people against this threat from Haman was the fact that we had sincere davening. This is what the Maharal writes. He writes this in his Hagdama to the Or Chadash. He says, "Ki anes b'yamei Haman, hay b'shvil shashem b'sparach shama tefilasan," that the miracle during the days of Haman was because of the fact that Hashem heard our sincere tefillas. "V'lo haya geula shehigiu liYisrael letzara." And there has never been a geula, a redemption, that was brought to the Jewish people when they were facing a certain tragedy. That this was an exemplar of how to daven with sincerity, and that Hashem, when He hears those sincere tefillos, will take us out. Because, as it says in the Megillah, divrei hatzomos v'tzaakasam, that the Jewish people were saved due to the divrei tzomos v'tzaakasam, their fast and their tzaakasam, their sincere tefillas. In fact, the Zohar writes that specifically this type of tefillah, tzaaka or za'aka, is the most sincere form of tefillah. It's when you're davening from like mamish the depths. When you're davening from the depths of your heart, from your soul, from your kishkas, then Hashem will turn everything else around. Turn everything else around for the Jewish people. There's a fascinating, like a really incredible medrash. The medrash writes in Esther Rabbah, fascinating story that there's this conversation taking place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi. Amazing. This conversation happening between Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi. That what are they talking about? What they're talking about is that this geula, this redemption that Hashem had done for us when we left Mitzrayim, is not the first and last. There's going to be other times that we're going to have to be saved. And they go through different generations that the Jewish people are going to have to be saved. And then we get to the days of Yemei Achashverosh, the days of Achashverosh and Shushan HaBira, where we know that the Jewish people at that point were at a very low spiritual point. What's our source for that? We know that they went to Achashverosh's party, right? They were at the party, and like everybody else, complete assimilation, right? It was not good, right? And we also know there was only one Jew who didn't bow down to Haman, right? It was not a good spiritual state for the Jewish people. So Moshe says to Eliyahu HaNavi, that's a problem. What are they going to do? Amar lo Moshe. Moshe says to Eliyahu HaNavi, "Klum yesh adam kasher ba'osu adoris, and they're going to be anybody that the Jewish people are going to be saved on accord of." Amar lo, Eliyahu HaNavi responds back and says, "Yesh, no, there is. Ushmor Mordechai. Mordechai could save the Jewish people. Mordechai could save the Jewish people." Moshe Rabbeinu responds back to Eliyahu HaNavi and says the following. He says, Amar lo, Leif, go to Mordechai, the Hodio, and go tell him, Kedesh Yamuhu Misham Betfila. That, if that's the case, he needs to make sure that he davens for the redemption to take place for the Jewish people at that point. Vani Mekam, I'll daven from here. I'll daven for them in Shamayim. I'll do what I can on this side of things. But if they expect to be saved, Mordechai needs to make sure he's davening properly for the Jewish people. V'nevakesh rachmim aleihem lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if not for that tefillah, they're not going to be being saved.
But does this answer the question of why he gives us the right to publicize it?
So that's the Maharal's going to get to that. Where basically that's what are we publicizing? We're not publicizing just the miracle. Not just publicizing the miracle. What we're publicizing is that this haftacha works. That this guarantee. It's almost like the. It's almost like we have this pasuk in Parshas Vayetzchanan. That the pasuk tells us that whenever the Jewish, how fortunate are the Jewish people, that mi goy gadol asher lo yesh Elohim, that have a God that asher karo alav, that if they call out to Him, Hashem is going to take care of whatever situation they're going to be in. That is the backdrop of the entire holiday of Purim. That is like the introductory note of what we're trying to spread on the day of Purim. And then we're using as an example of that Migelas Esther. It's an example of that. So we're being mefarsing, we're publicizing the fact that this guarantee is real. And here's a great example of it. Here's a great example of it. The Nesivos also points this out. The Nesivos was probably one of the most prolific authors in our history. Rabbeinu Yaakov from the town of Lisa. He was called Hagoyin Melisa. He wrote Svarim. He has a running commentary on all of Choshen Mishpat. He has a running commentary, which are laws of civil law. Monetary law. He has a running commentary on Yoredeya, laws of mitzvot between me and Hashem, like Kashrus, for example. Running commentary there called the Chavos Das. He has a running commentary on Hilchos Pesach, complicated laws related to Pesach. A running commentary on the laws of giving gittin. Like, he wrote so much in his lifetime, which is amazing because he had such a difficult personal life. I don't actually know how long he lives, but his life, he had a lot of tzaras in his life, He was divorced, and that his ex-wife's family was accusing him of like crazy things. The Nesivos. Going Rabbeinu Yaakov Melisa. the going of Lisa. And he had to run out of town, like a whole mess. He had a lot of tsaras in his life, but he wrote prolifically and one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim that we ever had. So one of his farm was is a running commentary on Megillas Esther. It's called Megillas Starim. And in the Megillas Starim, he writes the following. He says, the Megillah tells us in the beginning of the fourth chapter, Mordechai Yada as Kol Asher Asa, that Mordechai as Kol Asher Nasa, that Mordechai knew, he understood everything that was going on, meaning that he knew the decree that was just passed in the previous chapter. He knew the decree that was just passed by Haman and Achashverosh of La'abed es kol Yehudim, to destroy this genocide, to destroy the entire Jewish people. And Mordechai understood this through Ruach HaKodesh. I think it says straight in the Megillah, open it, the Megillah says, in the fourth chapter. Yeah. Mordechai Adas Kolasher Nase, the Kram Marcharais Begadav, that he tore his clothing. Vyobash Sak the Afer, he put on sackcloth. Vyatsubitochair, Vyitzak Zaakagadullah Umara, and he let out a bitter cry at that point. That's what Mordechai, that was his response to hearing this news, against hearing this news through Ruach HaKodesh. Writes the Megillah Starim, writes the Nesivos, he says, Yad HaGzera Shenegzer Baruch HaKodesh. He understood what happened. Vayodeh Ki Derech Ha'am Shelo Shav Ad Hamachu. And he understood that to expect there to be a full teshuva by all of Klal Yisrael was beyond the pale, beyond what can be expected. Rach Chorzrim Al-Sibos Levakesh Mishari HaMelech Al-Nafsham, that all can be expected is to try and infiltrate from within, that Ukiyotze Mesivos Harabim, Vein Sibos Moelis Klau, Utfila Moelis Tamid. However, you never know what is actually going to be able to work, what kind of strategies are actually going to help the Jewish people, but there's one thing that always helps, Tfila. And that was why his first thing he does is, that was the first thing he did. That Tfila, I mean, the Mamish works, sincere Tfila Mamish works. There's a medrash that says, the Masechta Derashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai writes, he says, Lo Yomar Adam, a person shouldn't say to themselves, Eini Kedai Lehispalo Al Beis HaMikdash Val Yisrael, who am I to daven for the Geula, for the redemption? Who am I to daven? Talmud Lomar, the Torah teaches us, Shamoa Shema Tzakato, that Hashem listens to our sincere tefillah. He listens to our sincere tefillah. Torah gives us a guarantee that the redemption comes to fruition through those sincere tefillos. Absolutely does. Absolutely does.
So when they talk to tefillos, is that like prescribed, organized tefillos? Is that prescribed? That's just like
that's
from
like
your heart.
Straight from the heart. Straight from the heart. That's like what the Ramban's saying. That is what tefillah is in its essence. Real tefillah, says the Ramban, is calling out to Hashem be'isar. It's calling out to Hashem when you really, really need it. That is the tefillah min haTorah. The other details of davening, the scripted tefillah, there's a rabbinic obligation to try and access this on a daily basis. But if you need Hashem, you don't wait for mincha.
Right.
You daven right then.
But you still have to do it like a phrase, thanks, Chris, or you just
no. Go with you just put, just you just daven. Mm-hmm. You just daven. You just daven. Yeah. And so that's how we answer our question of that. Well, what we're spreading here is not the miracle to us, and this is a whole discussion of itself. It's almost like it was less important how it happened. What's important is that it happened. And it's just that when you piece it together and you look at how it happened and you see Hashem's hand in everything and you realize, wow, like Mesiras Nefesh, that Esther did, and sincere tefillah, like what Mordechai did, and really how he encouraged the rest of Klal Yisrael to do the same, really clinched the geula. It changed everything. These were the two focal points. And they happened right next to each other, right? Mordechai hears the news. Vayitzak tzaka gedola. Goes, tells Esther, kasher avadati, avadati. I'll put my own life on the line. Boom. Hashem turns everything around. Everything up till this point in the Megillah, very gray. Very dark. Not a good situation for the Jewish people. These two things happen, everything flips around. Everything flips around. And that's what we're doing when we read the Megillah. We're trying to spread this message. This message of, if we put ourselves second to our fellow, to the rest of the Jewish people, on behalf of Hashem, His Torah, and His people, Hashem will take care of things, and sincere tefillah. And these are really the two ingredients to experiencing any salvation, of experiencing any geula. So we want Mashiach to come. We want to experience the full geula. We're spending our Wednesday nights talking about how, getting ourselves really excited for Mashiach's arrival. And is what we say it every single day in our Shemona Esrei, three times a day, talking about how we're anticipating Mashiach's arrival. We want Mashiach to come. The Rambam says we're going to experience the clarity that gives us the greatest joy in the world when Mashiach's going to arrive. There's going to be nothing better. We want that to happen. These are the two ingredients to make it happen. These are the two ingredients to make it happen. Yeah. The Mesillas Yesharim, just we should
these two ingredients just brought salvation. It wasn't specifically
any but salvation. any salvation. Yeah. That's what the Rambam's whole point was. The Rambam said that's why we read the Megillah. Mm-hmm. To tell us this works. That's why we read the Megillah, not to just simply tell a story to share miracles. There's something significant about that also. We do that like Pesach time, we do that, right? But this, the purpose of Parsume Nisa for Purim, for the Megillah, is to show that this works, this recipe works. If we want to experience Geula.
But it's not, in other words, the kind of clarity you're going to, the presumably one
is going to happen through the, is,
it must
is when we experience it. In fact, the Rambam says it's going to be even greater.
That's a greater level. Yeah. So it would require presumably greater.
No, level. That's going to be the natural thing that happens when Mashiach comes. But Mashiach's only going to come once we have these two things, which is we say that we need to, we have an achrayus to Klal Yisrael. We need to give, put our own personal needs and gains come second to the rest of the Jewish people and second to Hashem. And that we also are coming with sincere tefillah.
Yeah, I get that. But what I'm saying is this brought them geula at that stage, but it didn't bring them the level of
because that,
clarity.
That right. That what we're waiting for, correct. What point. We're waiting for is the next geula. That next geula is going to be the ultimate. It's going to be the final one. Yeah. That we weren't ready yet at that point for it. We weren't at that point of redemptive process. Now we're up to that point of redemptive process, which means that that's going to be the next stage. That's going to be the thing that happens.
Is that because of the prophecy of the 6,000 years?
Not necessarily due to the number, but yeah, we know that this is the final stop. Yeah, we know that this is the final stop. Yeah. There isn't going to be another form of a geula. There are many sources that indicate that. This is going to be the last stop. Yeah.
You don't see the family of the state of Israel as it's just a step towards geula, or is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what makes it so significant, is that it was a major step. That's why Rosh Hashanah says to say hello.
It's not to Purim, it's like a step towards the altar.
Correct. Yeah, it's a step towards it. But that's why we refer to it as a Schalta de Gula.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we refer to it as a Schalta de Gula, because it is the beginning of this final redemptive stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Without that, we wouldn't have had it. It's based off of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, because the Gemara and Sanhedrin says that in order for the to know that we're in the days of Mashiach, we need to have a Jewish government and in the land of Israel and a Jewish army. So now we're just waiting for the last one, which is that we're going to have complete sovereignty in land of Israel and be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's just waiting for the last one. But that's those two things happening, at least for Rav Schechter pointed out from the Nesivos, that those, once those two things happen, that's called Haschalah de Geula. That's the beginning of the redemptive process already. So we're mamish are in it. Like it's, we're just, now we just need it. It's almost like we're in the final sprint of the marathon. Yeah. And so I'll just add on that Mesil Sharm says there's one, the meta ingredient to all of this is belief that I actually can have a role in. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Amit Tes, that this is what it means when we say Bishvili Nevar Olam, that the world is created for me, meaning that I actually can affect this change. If I, like a person can say to themselves, listen, that sounds great for Mordechai and Esther, right? Esther representing this Mesiras Nefesh of self-sacrifice, Mordechai representing the sincere tefillah, great. They were tzaddikim. I'm not Mordechai and Esther. I'm just some guy. And who am I to be the one to affect the final redemption? Mesiras Sharm says, no, it's Bishvili Nivra Olam. In Mamish could be Hashem is waiting for me, for my sincere tefillah, for my sacrifice. And then we're going to see the ultimate Geula. We're going to see the ultimate Geula. Yeah. So we have to believe in ourselves that we have the capability to actually affect this. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll stop here. All right. Take care.
So, Rabbi.